الحمد لله الحمد لله حمدا موافيا لنعمه مكافيا لمزيده والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه وجنوده أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رجال لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة يخافون يوما تتقلب فيه القلوب والأبصار وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من طلب الدنيا حلالا استعفافا عن المسألة وسعيا على أهله وتعطفا على جاره لقي الله ووجهه كالقمر ليلة البدر ومن طلب الدنيا حلالا مكاثرا مرائيا لقي الله وهو عليه غضبان أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله صدق الله صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. The concern of nearly every individual is how can I increase my earnings? No matter what the source of earnings may be, how can I get more? How can I get kathra, abundance? So, if I have one business, I need a second business and a third business. If I have one property, a second property and a third property. Offshore investment. Or if I'm working in a certain company at a certain post, how can I get a better post? Or where can I get a better job from? So nearly every person's concern is how can I increase my earnings? Which in Arabic is termed as kathra, abundance. However, Islam teaches us that more important than kathra, more important than increasing our earnings is to acquire barakah and blessings in our earnings. If a person has abundant, it doesn't guarantee happiness. It doesn't guarantee fulfillment. It doesn't guarantee peace of mind and contentment. But a person may have a little, but he has barakah in the little that he may have. That is enough for him. It brings him happiness. It brings him fulfillment. It brings him peace of mind. So, in the little time that we have, we will try and discuss a few aspects through some incidents from the lives of the pious, through which we may acquire barakah and blessings in our earnings. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a hadith of Sahih Bukhari has pointed out the same point, that on one hand is kathra, abundance, and on the other hand is barakah, blessings. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, فَإِن صَدَقَا وَبَيَّنَا. If the two contracting parties, the buyer and seller, if they are honest, if they are truthful, وَبَيَّنَا, and they explain the defect of the item, بُورِكَ لَهُمَا فِي بَيْعِهِمَا, barakah and blessings will be placed in the transaction of theirs. On the other hand, وَإِن كَذَبَا وَكَتَمَا, if they speak lies, they are dishonest, they conceal the fault of that item, then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, فَعَسَىٰ أَن يَرْبَحَا رِبْحًا وَيَمْحَقَ بَرَكَةَ بَيْعِهِمَا. They may make a lot of profit. The word we use was kathra. They may get kathra, abundant profit. But يَمْحَقَ بَرَكَةَ بَيْعِهِمَا. Not only will they be deprived of the barakah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, they will destroy the barakah. Barakah is destroyed. You may make a lot, You're seeing big figures, but there's no barakah in that. What's the point? What's the benefit of that? Similarly, we find in a hadith Rasulullah s.a.w. explains that inna riba wa in kathur, interest, usually, interest-bearing transactions, wa in kathur, although it may bring kathra, it may bring abundance, you may see a lot, but Rasulullah s.a.w. says, فَإِنَّ عَاقِبَتَهُ تَصِيرُ إِلَىٰ قُلِّنْ, that the outcome of it will be decreased, the outcome will be that a person will suffer because of it. So, the same point, kathra, abundant wealth, doesn't guarantee that a person is going to enjoy happiness in that wealth. Barakah will guarantee that. And that should be the concern to acquire barakah. As we explained through a few examples, through a few incidents, we will explain this point. Few methods, although it's a very lengthy topic, but a few basic, simple methods that we can employ in order to acquire the barakah and acquire the blessings. On one occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was purchasing a garment from someone. And when purchasing, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to the person who was weighing the gold or the silver that was used to be paid, was used as payment. Obviously in those days, there was no notes and coins as we have nowadays. They were paying in gold and silver, transacting in gold and silver. So it needed to be weighed. So there would be someone that would be, that his job would be to weigh the gold and silver that was being used to pay for the goods that is being purchased. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to that person who is weighing the currency, who is weighing the payment, he says to him, zin wa arjih, weigh this for me and give him slightly more. Now slightly more, what is he speaking about? He's not speaking about potatoes or onions. He's speaking about gold or silver. Imagine slightly more in gold and silver. What amount it will equal to. But Rasulullah is saying, give him more than is due to him. The important lesson that we learn from here is that forget squeezing the person. Forget squeezing him. We must make sure that we never rob him. Even if it means giving him something extra. But be more cautious. Make sure that I paid him in full. Even if I paid him extra, no problem. But I mustn't pay him short. Give the other person the benefit of the doubt. This is the principle that Rasulullah ﷺ is teaching us. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi, a very great imam, on one occasion, he purchased an item, he didn't have the money to pay for the item. So he placed a bucket of his as collateral, as a guarantee, that when he brings the payment, he will take the bucket, he will take his item. When he goes back with the payment, the seller tells him that there's two buckets here, I'm not sure which one is yours. You can choose and you can make out which one is yours. Both the buckets were identical. If we come out from the masjid and we see two identical pairs of shoes, I'll take the one that looks better. The one that's unused, not used so much. The one that's newer, I'll take that must be mine. And if it's not mine, Allah will make me maaf, because now it's confusing. Imam Ahmad rahmatullah alayhi sees two buckets, identical. He says to the seller, I'm not sure which one is mine. You can keep both the buckets, and you can take the payment as well. Here's the payment, take the payment as well. Now that bucket was placed as collateral. So if he couldn't give the payment, then that bucket would be sold and the money would be taken out from the bucket, from the value of the bucket. But here Imam Ahmad rahmatullah alayhi is telling him, I will pay you for the item and you can keep the collateral, you can keep the guarantee. You can keep my item. So he's as if he's double paying for it. But why? I mustn't cheat. I mustn't be taking something that doesn't belong to me. Never mind, I may part with some wealth. It won't make me poor. But I can't take up someone else's wealth because that will destroy the barakah. And that is definitely disastrous and that's detrimental for me. So this is the way in which they conducted their business. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, we speak about him, about his greatness in ilm, in the knowledge of deen, etc., in his jurisprudence. Most of us follow his fiqh, follow him in jurisprudence. But look at the manner in which he will conduct business. And he was not conducting small business. He was a big businessman. on one occasion, in an entire consignment of garments, just to put ourselves in the picture, take a truckload of some garment. And in that entire truckload, there's only one garment that has a defect. One garment. Not the whole truckload, not half of it, one garment that's defective. So he had a partner. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi was dedicated to the ilm of deen, to passing on deen. So he had a partner who would conduct the business on his behalf. So he sends the consignment to his partner and he tells him, you make sure when you're selling this item, when you're selling this parcel, the consignment, then you must make sure that you mention to the customer that there's one defective garment. The partner sells the entire consignment, the entire truckload in our terms, and he forgot to tell the person about that defective item, and he didn't even know who that person was, he didn't have his particulars. When Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi learns of this, then he gives the entire amount in sadaqah. The entire amount in sadaqah. And it was, if we equate it in today's time, approximately 700,000 rand. All given in sadaqah. Not the profit that he made from that garment. Not the value of that garment. Not the profit that he made from the consignment. Everything. The whole consignment, the value of it, the profit of it, everything is given away in sadaqah. For what? For one defective item, which may have cost most 1,000 rand. 1,000 rand defective item, 700,000 rand is given in sadaqah. Why? Because he knew the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we discussed in the beginning, that when the defect is not disclosed, يَمْحَقَ بَرَكَةَ بَيْعِهِمَا They may make profit, but they will destroy the barakah and the blessings of that transaction. So they were so concerned about acquiring barakah, that even if it means us losing so much, we're not losing, we're still gaining. But unfortunately, because of the materialistic world that we live in, then everything is only about figures. I'm losing so much. I'm lending money to someone. After 1 year, he's paying me the same amount. I lost money. Depreciation. I lost money. I must make profit on that. Because we only see figures. We can't see beyond that. We can't see the reward that is promised for assisting that person. So if that amount, me lending that person, doesn't bring me more monetary value, then it's no use in me lending him the money. It doesn't bring me anything. Why must I lend him money? I'd rather invest it somewhere else. So we only see figures, we don't see beyond figures. But these people saw beyond that. They understood that more important than those figures, more important than that kathra, is the barakah that they need to acquire. On one occasion, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi had lent money to someone. He was a fire worshipper, a Majusi. And when the due date came for the payment, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi goes to his home to collect the money that is due to him. The money is being owed to him. He goes to collect the money on the due date. He goes to the home of the fire worshipper. When he reaches there, he notices that under his shoe, there was some najasa, some impurity that had stuck onto his shoe. So he takes out his shoe and he dusts it, so that the najasa will fall off. But that najasa flew onto the wall of that fire worshipper. Now obviously, it's the front wall of his home. Leaving it there is unsightly. Anyone comes to his home, he will see there's najasat lying on his, najasat stuck on his front wall. And if he had to clean it, then because the homes were made of mud, then some of the mud of that wall will also come out, which will be causing some harm, some damage to his property. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi is in a quandary. What do I do? I can't leave it there, I can't take it out. So the slave girl of the Majusi of the fire worshipper comes out. He asks her that call your master. When the master came, he knew that Imam Saad is at my door. He came to collect his money. So he, as soon as he came, he starts making excuses. Sorry, you know what, I'm just caught up. Whatever the excuses may be. So he's making these excuses why he can't pay the money. Imam Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi says to him that we have a bigger problem. This man is owing him. Whatever the amount may have been, It may have been a significant amount. He's owing him money, but Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi is worried about that small najasa that is stuck on his wall. He says, I have a bigger problem than the money. The money we'll discuss later on. How are we going to clean this najasat off your wall? When that fire worshipper hears this, he was so impressed that I'm owing this man money. Instead of him asking me for the money, he's worried about that najasa, little najasa that has stuck onto my wall. He says that أَبْدَأُ بِتَطْهِيرِ نَفْسِي I will first purify myself, and there and then he recites the shahada. He accepts Islam based on the akhlaq that Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi showed him in business. Now this is what brings barakah in the business. When the concern is not only the wealth, the concern is beyond that. I must give a good reputation, a good representation of Islam. When I am dealing, then I am not dealing only on my personal self, on behalf of my personal self. I am a representative of Islam. I am a representative of Deen. I am an ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Am I giving a good name to Islam or a bad name to Islam? This is such an important point. When Muslims deal in a good manner, we are so good reports. People get impressed. Sometimes people working for Muslims get impressed with Islam, they accept Islam. Why? Because that Muslim showed him the akhlaq that a Muslim is supposed to be displaying. On the other hand, we hear the opposite also. People will say, unfortunately, don't get deceived with that kurta and that dhari. Don't get deceived with that turban and the kurta. There's no problem with the sunnat attire. The problem is with the person who is wearing it that's not displaying the conduct of that sunnat attire. As a representative of deen, as a representative of Islam, we need to conduct ourselves in the best manner in business. The non-Muslims don't see our salah. They don't see our fasting. They won't see most of our ibadat. But on a daily basis, they interact with us in the business world. Whether we are selling to them something, we're buying something from them, whether we're employing them or we're employed by them, whatever the nature may be, the akhlaq that we display in the business world is absolutely critical and important. Because if we display the right akhlaq, the right character, then they will be impressed about Islam and Muslims. It will soften their hearts. There are so many incidents of this nature where people, because of someone helping them, maybe when they were in down and out, people helped, someone helped them, a Muslim helped him. And then later on the person, he progresses in life, and then he holds a very high position. He doesn't forget the ihsan and the good that that person did to him. And this works in the favor of the Muslims. So this is something which is extremely important, especially in the current situation, political situation, anti-Indian sentiments, xenophobia, etc. It is extremely important that we deal in the right way. If we are working for someone, we employed by someone, then honesty, not that now we are coming late, and we're not even telling the person that we have arrived late, every day 15 minutes, half an hour, or during work time we're doing something else, some personal work. What happens, obviously, it brings a negative, a bad reputation to Islam and Muslims. Because the person will think, but this person, he has this kind of a religion, but this kind of a behavior. On the other hand, if that Muslim staff tells him, he goes up to his senior and tells him, you know what, I came late on this day, deduct so much from my salary. Most probably it won't be deducted. But the impression that's created, that a Muslim is an honest person. And then this person, when interacting with other Muslims as well, then he will have this good impression of Islam and the Muslims. So this is the akhlaq that we display. There are many, many other incidents and examples that can be given regarding how we acquire barakah in our businesses. But we don't have the time, there's a nikah also. We will discuss one last incident of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu an, great sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, third khalifa of Islam, the son-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam times two. Two daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were in his marriage, one after the other. He was a big businessman. Sometimes we think that we can't relate to the lives of sahaba because they were not doing business like how we are doing. If we just analyze and study the contribution that Uthman radiallahu anhu had given during the expedition of Tabuk. The incident is in Fadail Amal. Just the amount that he contributed in one expedition, we will be able to understand and estimate how wealthy he was. On one occasion, Uthman radiallahu anhu is purchasing a property, an orchard. And just before the deal was about to be signed, they would shake hands on the deal. Now it's signed. Whatever the nature of confirmation may be, just before it is confirmed, the seller says, I want 10,000 silver coins extra. Again, to put us in the picture, you're buying a property, he says 2 bars more, 2 million rand more. Just before you concluded the deal, I want 2 million rand more. How many of us will have the heart to give that extra? Forget giving the extra, we'll squeeze him for two bars. We'll squeeze him. No, I'm not interested. You know the person is hard up to sell. The market is not good. But we'll squeeze the person, we'll squeeze him. We know it's so difficult for him. Even if the person is making 100 rand profit sometimes. Not obviously not such a big deal on a smaller thing. The person is making 100 rand profit. You know the person is just battling to make ends meet. But we squeeze the person. This is not how a Muslim conducts business. Nevertheless, Uthman radiallahu anhu is about to sign, about to shake hands on the deal. The person is asking for 10,000 silver coins more. Uthman radiallahu anhu turns to Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, another very wealthy sahabi, who was standing next to him, and he says to him, that I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, in their business they were so conscious of the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of the promises of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna Allah yudkhilu al-jannata rajulan samhan, ba'ian wa mubta'an wa qadiyan wa muqtadiya." I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, "Allah will enter that person into Jannah." Which person? That person who is easygoing, who is lenient when he is conducting his business, when he is lending money, when he is claiming his money, when he is selling, when he is buying. No matter what the nature of the transaction may be, when this person is lenient, he's easygoing, he's soft, Allah will enter this person into Jannah. Today, unfortunately, it has become an accolade. It has become a word of praise that he's a hard businessman. He's a ruthless businessman. A Muslim businessman can't be a hard businessman. He can't be a ruthless businessman. Here's the guarantee of Jannah from the Mubarak lips of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah will enter that person into Jannah who is easy going when he is transacting. In another hadith of Sahih Bukhari, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes dua, Rahim Allah, may Allah have mercy on such a person. Guarantee of Jannah from the lips of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Dua of mercy from the Mubarak lips of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for a person who is easy going in transactions. So Uthman radiallahu anhu says to Abdul Rahman radiallahu anhu, I heard these words from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he says to the seller, here, take your 10,000 extra. Why? So that I can be eligible and worthy of these words that I have heard from the Mubarak lips of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Jannah was already guaranteed for him. He had enough guarantees of Jannah. But still, just to practice on this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I will give the extra, I will be easygoing. Now when we conduct our business in this manner, then we will acquire the barakah that we are desirous of. Then we will acquire that peace of mind, that contentment, that fulfillment that we are looking for. We are looking for it in abundant wealth. We are looking for it in kathra. But it doesn't lie in kathra. It lies in barakah. It lies in acquiring blessings and earning blessings into our wealth. No matter how little the wealth may be, it will bring us that satisfaction and that fulfillment. One last hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which explains to us what should the mindset of a Muslim businessman be. When our mindset is right, then behavior will automatically be in order. Then our akhlaq will be right. Everything will be in order when our mindset is right. This hadith of Musannaf ibn Abi Shayba, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam explains the mindset of a Muslim businessman, not a materialistic businessman. Of a Muslim businessman, man talaba dunya halalan, that person who earns halal, not haram. Haram is out of the discussion. And a transaction that has any haram elements in it is out of the discussion. We can't even dream of barakat coming there. Here we're talking about halal. That person who is earning halal. But what is his mindset? Isti'afafan anil mas'ala. So that he doesn't have to stretch his hand out before someone else. The first, niyyah, the first mindset. Secondly, sa'yan ala ahlihi, to take care of his dependents, to take care of them. He has obligations, he has people that are dependent on him, to take care of them. And then, a Muslim is not a selfish person. He's not only concerned about himself. وَتَعَطُّفًا عَلَىٰ جَارِهِ And so that he can be compassionate to his neighbors. Obviously, by way of extension, all those that are underprivileged, everyone who can't afford, then we spend on those people. Now, when this is the mindset of a person earning, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gives a very, very great bashara, a very great glad tidings for such a person. لَقِيَ اللَّهَ وَوَجْهُهُ كَالْقَمَرِ لَيْلَةَ الْبَدْرِ That person who is earning dunya in a halal manner, with this mindset, Allah says, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, on the day of Qiyamah when he will meet Allah, وَجْهُهُ كَالْقَمَرِ لَيْلَةَ الْبَدْرِ His face will be shining like the full moon. That's the glad tidings for a person conducting business in the right manner with the right mindset. One is a person who's reading Salah, he's reading Tahajjud. His virtues are there. This is a virtue for a person who is conducting his business in the right manner with the right mindset. On the other hand, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, وَمَن طَلَبَ الدُّنْيَا حَلَالًا That person who earns halal earnings, who earns a halal living, the earnings are halal, but his mindset is wrong. What's his mindset? A materialistic mindset. مُكَاثِرًا مُرَائِيًا To get more and show more. Not show more to the SARS. To show off more. مُكَاثِرًا To get more. Just accumulate more and more and more. The concern is this, I must just increase my earnings. There's no problem in increase, provided everything else is in order. But if the primary concern is increase, and everything else is being neglected, مُكَاثِرًا مُرَائِيًا And then when a person has it, then he has to show off. He has to show off what I can drive, where I can eat, what I can wear, how I can splash. If this is the mindset, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, لَقِيَ اللَّهَ وَهُوَ عَلَيْهِ غَضْبَانٍ When this person meets Allah, Allah will be displeased with this person. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to do those things that will bring barakah in our earnings and save us from doing those things that will earn his displeasure and earn bare barakati and lack of barakah. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ